Game Zone with Kent and Lucas.
Hi, I'm Kent.
And I'm Lucas.
Hello, everybody. So, hey, Lucas, I hear that you have some news that you want to talk about.
Oh, yes. Well, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is coming out in 2018.
Yep, can't wait.
And a new actor has been introduced into the film.
Oh, my God. Who is that?
Kurt Russell.
Oh, my God. Did they say who he's going to play?
They have not yet. So he could be a very minor character, or he could be like the main villain or sidekick or whoever.
I'm thinking Star-Lord's dad.
Oh.
I don't know. I've got nothing to base it on, really. That just kind of how it feels. Because in the first movie, he talks about his dad and that he's dead or something like that.
Mm.
But at the end of the movie, they said something about your father's alive or something.
Yeah, that was
effect.
Yondu.
Yeah. So
Space Merle.
Yes, exactly. So it kind of that lends itself to his dad appearing in the second movie, and now we're hearing Kurt Russell is in it. He's the right age. He could absolutely be Star-Lord's dad.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, hey, speaking of casting, they cast Laura Dern for episode 8 of Star Wars.
Oh, from Jurassic Park?
Yes, exactly. That's kind of interesting. I wonder who she's going to play.
Probably just a rebel.
Just a rando?
Just a rando.
Yay, we pay all this money to a big star, and yeah, you're going to be the third person from the left. Yeah.
Well, she might talk like she might be like a different Mon Mothma or something.
Yeah. You're one of the other Mon Mothmas. Yeah. So, all right. Well, a little bit of casting news there. We watched a trailer this week, like we try to do every week. What did we watch this week?
We watched Batman v Superman, the theatrical trailer.
Yeah, and this is the final one, right? The last full-length trailer before the movie actually comes out?
Yes.
Cool. What was your initial thoughts of it?
I think this is the good trailer.
Yeah, dude, I wholeheartedly agree. Anybody that follows me on Ritual Misery or anything else that I do on the internet knows that I have not been a fan of this movie so far. From the announcement through all of the trailers so far up to this point. Mm-hmm. That's probably fair to say, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm with you. This trailer actually makes it look like a fun movie.
Yes, it does. Well, a lot of questions do still come from this trailer or this movie.
Mm-hmm.
From all the trailers that have come out that make my nerd vibes.
Okay, like what?
Well, Batman. This is the coolest that we've seen him in a long time.
Right. I get the Arkham, the Arkham video game series vibe.
Yes, like it feels. I could see the squares and the triangles over over the guys' heads. It's amazing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, up to this point, I kind of had this like the internet term Batfleck. You know, I just look at the character and I just can't think of anything other than, oh my God, it's Ben Affleck playing Batman. Well, I saw Arkham Asylum in this trailer. This was the badass Batman.
I think the best two lines that represented how awesome Batman is Batman says, I'm getting slow in my old age, Alfred. And Alfred replies, even you got too old to die young, not for lack of trying.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and that's one of the things that's consistent with the Batman character is that he's always pushing himself past his limits. He, like, any normal person would die after a night of just being the Batman. And this dumbass does it every single night.
It's because he's Batman.
Right.
Batman does whatever Batman wants to do.
Yeah, so how do you feel about, like, you said this was the good trailer. Are you excited to see this movie now, or is it like, do you still have your reservations, or is this a, I don't know, where are you at? Are we going to see it in the theater?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we probably were before. Anyway, yeah. Weren't we?
It's really worrying. Like this, these are two very iconic characters
mm-hmm.
with many more iconic characters that are to be coming in, such as Wonder Woman.
Right. Right.
Which, speaking of Wonder Woman, she does a giant leap in the air. Yeah. And
it was the epic superhero leap.
Yeah, it looked very video game or comic book looking.
Yeah, absolutely. And that comic book look actually is encouraging to me because this is a comic book movie.
What?
Yeah, so I like that.
I definitely, it seems really, it looks really cool.
Yeah, right on. Any final words on Batman v Superman?
One thing that keeps confusing me is that there's this desert-like area that we keep seeing, and there's like these flying gargoyles or something to that effect that we keep seeing, and there's like a desert Batman and these soldiers with the Superman insignia on it.
Right. It's like the Hitler Youth, but loyal to Superman.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, what is that all about?
Yeah. Well, I think what they're showing us is that Superman, being like a godlike being, that he has a cult following, that there are people worshiping him. Because we see in one scene where he's walking down a corridor and these guys like dressed like soldiers bow to him.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's playing off of that like god cult sort of thing.
Yeah, I really hope that this is like, they came up with this instead of Superman, like, hey, you guys want to be my soldiers?
Oh, then yeah, then if that's the case, then Bruce Wayne is every bit justified for going after him.
Yeah,
I don't know, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I really, really hope that this movie is good, or at least passable.
Yeah,
because my initial feelings of this movie were so low and awful that just let it be okay, and I'll enjoy it.
It doesn't help that Man of Steel was decent. It was fair.
Fair, yeah, yeah. It was definitely a fair. Let's just call it that. I wouldn't call it a good movie, and I wouldn't even call it a bad movie. It was just it was all right. It was all right.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think my favorite scene from the entire trailer was towards the end where Superman throws a punch at Batman and he just blocks it. He's like, kryptonite.
Yeah. Well, and the music helped.
Oh,
that was really good trailer music. And it visually, it hit the beats.
Yeah.
It worked.
If Batman does not have kryptonite when that scene happened, I'm going to be very...
What the heck is going on? Maybe it's magic.
Yeah. Oh,
Superman's weak to magic, too.
Does Wonder Woman have magic?
I don't think it's classified as magic.
Yeah.
I'm not actually sure what the source of her powers is. Because is she a goddess?
She's
Amazonian, I know that. But isn't she like a... Well, she's royalty, maybe that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
She's a princess.
Not exactly sure. I'm not that hip into the to the comic book.
Yeah, and the whole Wonder Woman mythos, I've kind of skirted it, I guess.
Mm.
Pardon that term. But yeah, I mean, she's one of the DC characters that I don't know a whole lot about. Batman and Superman are like the primary DC characters to me, and everything else is just kind of peripheral. I know a lot more about Marvel characters, I think, than the overall DC verse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Batman's the best superhero, but Marvel's better than DC.
Right.
At least that's my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. All right, so this is the part of the show where we speculate either about what we think is going to happen in a movie coming out in the future, or posit some theories. Whatever. This is the speculation segment. And this week I came across a fan theory that I don't know if you've seen yet. We've talked a lot about different Star Wars fan theories, the whole Darth Jar Jar thing, and just, you know, so many different variations of who is Snoke and who is Rey's parents and things like that. Well, I found something just a couple of days ago that really amused me.
It's not Maz, Jar Jar.
Maz Kanata has been in the previous Star Wars films.
Wait, what?
Yeah, have you? You haven't heard this? Okay, good. Maz Kanata is a Jawa.
Oh, I'm actually just thinking about this right now. Like, we don't ever actually see a Jawa without its hood on.
Right. Oh. All we see is the glowing eyes. But what's to say that those aren't goggles? And guess who else wears goggles?
Oh.
Maz Kanata. She's the right height. She knows a lot about the Force and about the Skywalker family, which we don't know why she knows these things. Well, okay, she's like 1,000 years old. You know, so I imagine anybody that's lived 1,000 years old probably know, or lives 1,000 years, knows something about the Force in this universe. But she knows a lot about the Skywalker family. We're not really sure why. Well, if she was a Jawa, she would have had at least the possibility of direct contact with Anakin and Luke.
Are you suggesting that she was one of the Jawas that sold the droids to...
Exactly. Well, that's what this theory postulates. And even they went so far as to show that when the Jawas initially captured the droids in the desert, there were 8 of them. And when you see the corpses after the stormtrooper slaughter of the Jawas, there's only 7 corpses.
Oh, yeah, I was just about to bring that up. Like, wait, didn't the stormtroopers...
Right.
Yeah.
But there was one less corpse visible.
Dun, dun, dun.
Right. So she would have had direct encounters with Obi-Wan Kenobi, possibly. Anakin Skywalker, Luke Skywalker, R2-D2, C-3PO. And they're also speculating that the single Jawa that you see in Return of the Jedi in Jabba's palace, that Jawa is Maz Kanata. And there's only one Jawa because Jawas travel in groups, right? Mm-hmm. They're like a group social being, I guess. But there's only one of them. This is the lone Jawa from the Stormtrooper massacre, which is Maz Kanata. So she was there to witness all of the events in Jabba's palace in Return of the Jedi.
Okay. I'm seeing this. This is interesting.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, this isn't one of the off the wall, you know, Boba Fett is Snoke. Like, really, shut up. But this was a new one, and okay, to me it seems very plausible. I don't know if they'll go there because we don't have to make connections of. All the new characters have to be connected somehow to the previous trilogies and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of how they would incorporate that. Like, are they going to have, like, some sort of flashback? Like, oh, I'm going to look back in my time. Like, let me look to the side slightly.
Well, my guess is that if this is the case, it's something that will come out in the in a book, some additional material. Either a book or a short story, or maybe even what they used to do back in the early days of the expanded universe is a lot of these stories would come out in the role-playing game source books. So maybe they'll do something like that, or like
They did stuff on Wikipedia for Kylo Ren with his broken kyber crystal for the lightsaber, and that's why it's like all chiseled up and like. Looks weird.
Yeah.
They might do something like that. It's like, oh yeah, by the way, this character that's kind of like Yoda but is orange is actually a Jawa.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be interesting. It's definitely interesting to think about. And when we go back and watch the original trilogy, it's something like, what if that's Maz Kanata over there?
I've already been watching the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy about Jar Jar, just thinking about him.
Right.
And yeah, it's It's really fun watching these movies in different light.
Yeah. Even if it's, if it turns out to be completely untrue, it's still fun to just think about these things and throw ideas at each other and just see where it goes. Just have a total nerd attack.
Yeah, well, that... You know, J.J. Abrams did this on purpose, right? Like, he held information just so we would come up with stuff.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's all part of the master plan.
Yeah. Especially with Rey not having a last name or not having her last name said.
Yep.
That is completely on purpose.
Absolutely.
Like, it's going to be like Calrissian all of a sudden. People are going to be like, what?
There was some funny business happening on Cloud City.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
So, okay. All right. Well, let's move on then.
Okay.
And we just got done watching Deadpool.
Oh, yeah. It was really, really, really fun.
Yeah. So, let's start out by being spoiler-free and just kind of talk about what we thought of the movie, and then we'll break it down. Sound good?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. So, what'd you think?
It's really good. Oh, yeah. By the way, if you are listening to only this part because you haven't seen Deadpool yet, what is wrong with you?
Right. Yeah, because it's been out for, what, 2 days now?
2 days when this is released. 7 months.
So. Hopefully it doesn't take that long. We'll see. But yeah, man. So before this movie came out, I talked a lot about how amazing the marketing for this movie is. Even if this movie sucked, the marketing for this movie should have gotten an award.
Oh, yeah. Just marketing's been great.
Yeah. And I tell you what, dude, I was not disappointed. The movie lived up to the hype. It was exactly as presented in the marketing.
Yes, it is. It is really good. Like, to Deadpool fans, to moviegoers that aren't scared of blood.
Right. And cussing and
sex,
inappropriate jokes. Just basically everything about that movie was absolutely inappropriate.
Yeah.
Which, ironically, is precisely appropriate for a Deadpool movie. A few years back, however long it was, when the Wolverine, X-Men Origins Wolverine movie came out.
Oh, God.
Yeah, well, they had Deadpool in there, played by Ryan Reynolds.
Who was also Deadpool in this movie.
Yeah. Every Deadpool fan on the planet was disappointed and perhaps even disgusted by the portrayal of Deadpool.
He's the merc with a mouth, but they like...
They took away his mouth.
Yeah, they sewed it together and like gave him Baraka arms.
Oh, what a piece of shit that was.
Yeah.
You know, and that movie was decent. I enjoyed the movie, but I was not happy with the portrayal of Deadpool in that movie.
I don't like the movie that much at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was okay. It's not something I would watch over and over again. However, this movie not only repaired that bad taste of Deadpool that we got from that movie, but it just absolutely redeemed the character. He is back to being what the fans want, what Deadpool is. The comics... what the fans want Deadpool to be. I mean, if you wanted that version of Deadpool, or you want a PG version of Deadpool, then this is like, that's not what Deadpool is.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to be in any of the X-Men movies or not. Like, I don't know how they would translate Deadpool to that.
Right. Yeah, I don't know how you can take the true Deadpool character and put it in an X-Men movie and still come out with a PG or even a PG-13 movie.
He'd probably have like the only cuss word in the PG-13 movie.
Right, yeah. Yeah. They're allowed one cuss word, and of course they give it to Deadpool. And it's going to be like, damn it.
Kind of like what they did with X-Men 3 with the Juggernaut.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so... I don't know. Do you have any other spoiler-free comments before we like really dive into this?
Well, I honestly think that the movie is good without it being Deadpool. Like, it's very stylized, you know, in a way. Like, it goes forwards and backwards in time.
Right, flashbacks.
But they're not... It doesn't feel like a flashback, even though it's treated as such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, pacing is really good.
Yeah, the pacing is great, and it's not Quentin Tarantino style where it just jumps the story around like they did with Pulp Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt very linear. I mean, the flashbacks were, in my opinion, appropriately placed. It wasn't here's where we're at. Stop the movie. Let's rewind. Which, I mean, it kind of was, but that's not how it felt. Like it really felt.
Felt natural.
Natural, exactly. Like free-flowing. This is, yes, right now I do want to know why this is the way it is. So they show you that. And then they're back in the main story. And then another example of, ooh, how did we get here? Oh, they showed me. Oh, okay, cool. Back to the main story. You know, I don't know. It just felt right. It felt good.
Yeah, it's... It was really good.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to comment. You just said exactly what needed to be said.
Right. So, all right. Can we get into spoilers now?
Oh, yeah. So, we're going to count down from three, or you guys can pause it or whatever.
Yeah. Just if you haven't seen it yet and you want to see it without spoilers, just stop listening now and go watch the movie and then come back and listen to the rest of this.
If you don't care about spoilers, it's fine. There's not much to spoil in this movie.
Right. Well, I mean, depending on your definition of spoilers or the level of spoilers that you have a tolerance for. Anyway, just go see the damn movie and come back and listen to the rest of this.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was enough time. If you didn't pause, then fuck you. So
spoken like a true gentleman.
Right. So this movie was, I guess you could say, a typical origin story for a superhero.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as format goes, like, you know, every Spider-Man movie that you see, like every first movie in the franchise, whether it's Spider-Man or if it's X-Men or, you know, even Superman or Batman or whatever, they have to show.
Yeah.
How did he get his powers? How did this happen? What put him in this position? And this movie's no different. It did that.
One thing that I really enjoyed about this, though, is that we started out seeing Deadpool as a hero. Well, hero said lightly.
As a super being?
Yeah, super being a mutant, but not necessarily.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he is a mutant. And they explain that later on, how that kind of came to be. But he wasn't born with powers or anything like that. So as you were saying, I really liked how they began, because they put you right in the middle of an action scene, and it's basically what you see in the trailers.
This is, they better do this with Spider-Man. I'm serious. We've seen Ben die.
Yeah.
We
don't need to see Ben die again. They can just talk about it later. Like, oh, when Uncle Ben died and it was my fault. Moving on.
I really hope that they do it similar to how Batman Begins did it for Batman. Like, we've seen Bruce's parents die how many times? Like 50?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so this movie, you're thrust right into the middle of the action, and it's, you get full-on, full-blown Deadpool in all of his nasty-mouthed, killing motherfuckers glory immediately.
Well, right before that, you actually see the beginning credits, which are amazing.
Oh my god. Okay. Yes, let's talk about that for a second. So, I don't know how many people were paying attention from the start, because most people, okay, credits are rolling.
Yeah, I didn't look until probably the second one, or like the end of the first name.
Yeah, and I'm kind of a credits junkie. I read every word that's shown to me on a screen, and so I saw it right from the beginning, and it was saying things like, you know, directed by some douchebag.
Yes,
it wasn't
great.
Yeah, it wasn't actual credits. it looked like credits, but they didn't say anyone's name. They just said...
They said the stereotype that they were...
In. Right, exactly. Or, you know, starring a hot chick.
Yes.
You know, it was pretty good.
A moody teenager.
Yeah.
A CGI character.
Right.
A yep. British villain.
Yep, yep. A gratuitous... what did they say? A gratuitous cameo. You know, we all knew who that was going to be. Because this is a Marvel movie.
Which, it's probably top four cameos that he's done. It's pretty great.
Yeah, this was a really good Stan Lee cameo. we'll get to that a little later. Yeah. But yeah, so it starts out with amazingly funny credits that fit right into Deadpool's personality. And then it goes right into him riding in the back of a taxi. And there's a, what, 2 or 3 minute long comedy scene, I guess, if yep. it was even that long.
But it tells you so much with it, like, says so much about the character and, like, his origin.
Yeah, yeah. It gives you basically the Reader's Digest. Like, okay, here's who I am, here's what I'm about to do, and let's go.
Yeah.
And then it was immediate action.
I really like the cab driver, Mohinder. He is so funny.
Was it Mohinder? No, I think it was something else. Or Mopinder, I think. Something like that. He was an Indian.
Dopinder.
Dopinder, yeah. Dopinder. He was an Indian dude, and he was pretty funny. I mean, he wasn't like over the top like with jokes or anything, but he had this like subtle humor to him. He was a cool character.
I actually liked him more than...
Weasel?
Yeah.
I
don't know.
Yeah, all of Weasel's... okay, Weasel is T.J. Miller's character, and T.J. Miller is a really, really funny dude. As anyone that watched the trailers saw, he had some pretty funny lines. However, almost all of his funny lines were in the trailers. So in the movie, there wasn't a whole lot of new funny stuff from T.J. Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was still good. I mean, he was it was good that he was there. It was a, he was a light, added levity, I guess, to some dark scenes.
Yeah. He wasn't necessary whatsoever for the movie. Though
right, and he wasn't overdone either. Like, he wasn't overbearing like a lot of comic. Like, he did not Jar Jar Binks this thing whatsoever.
Oh yeah,
no.
Now that I think about it, so many of these characters don't have to be in this movie.
Mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
There's no essential character.
Yeah, I mean, they were all pretty much window dressing. It was it completed the portrait with these extra characters. So yeah, I thought it was fine, and so we get this. This high velocity action scene pretty much right out of the gate. And it's, I mean, oh my God, it's kind of a one part car chase destruction scene, one part beat 'em up, one part.
It's just really funny. He talks about whatever when he's killing these people, he's counting down how many bullets he has left.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And then you talked about the stylization of the cinematography earlier. Very much on display in this scene. There's some really creative, really cool shots.
Yeah.
And it's so cool. It combines all these elements, but it is so graphic and so gory and so...
Oh, yes.
So ridden with cuss words and just inappropriate things.
If you were a red-blooded American, watch this movie now.
Yeah, don't take your kids. Like, absolutely. If you're a dumb enough to take your kids and you walk out of there offended, well, it's your own damn fault.
It's rated R for a reason.
Exactly. And it says right on the poster what it's rated R for. Violence, gratuitous sex, nudity.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing.
I mean, it's
PG.
Yeah, not at all. This movie is not for kids whatsoever. That being said, it was really fun. You know, if you can tolerate a full-blown rated R movie, which probably bordered on NC-17, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if a not rated version came out.
Oh my god!
Later on, yeah, that because I mean it was seriously bordering on NC-17, because it was pretty over the top, and it was just, oh my gosh, it was just so much fun. If you are a Deadpool fan, you are going to be in love with this movie.
If you were a moviegoer, you were going to be in love with this film.
Yeah, as like I said, as long as you've got that rated R tolerance. But yeah, okay, so moving the story along, it's funny because one of the ad campaigns, or one of the lines of advertising for it was that this is a Valentine's movie. This is a love story. And honestly, I thought that was complete bullshit and just a hook that, like a joke, basically. It's just a prank to call it a love story. But
well, it
very much was a love story.
Yeah.
It's a man that meets a woman, they fall in love, and something tragic happens, and he's fighting to get her back, and they, spoiler alert, end up back together at the end of the movie. It's absolutely a love story. This is like a formulaic to the T of a romantic movie.
I'm honestly trying to remember a superhero movie with this much of a romantic aspect to it.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah, like, you could talk about Clark Kent and Lois Lane. You can talk about Peter Parker and, you could either say Gwen Stacy.
Mary Jane.
Or Mary Jane. Fill in the blank as you like. Or any other superhero movie you can think of, and it's not as much of a romantic story as what the Deadpool movie was, surprisingly.
Yep.
Yeah, and I've never been a huge fan of romantic elements in movies just for the sake of having a romantic element, but I felt like this romance story worked really well. Like, this is kind of what the story was.
Yeah, like, it was... The whole plot was based around this romantic couple.
Yeah, so he finds out that he has cancer. And this comes after basically a one-year kind of montage of them being in love with each other.
And lots of sex.
Yeah, there was a lot of sex. And he proposes to her. And then in the next shot, but it was just the same scene, but the next shot, he passes out. And yep. The next shot, or the next scene, is in the doctor's office being told that he has cancer. Like, late stage fatal cancer, like he's about to die. And there's a few minutes of him with remorseful and regretful
at a bar.
But basically he's stating his point of view that the true victims of cancer are the survivors, the people that you leave behind, or the people that have to watch you go through the treatments and the degradation of health and all of that sort of stuff. And he didn't want that for his fiance, I guess.
Yeah, fiance.
Yeah, so he wasn't sure what he was going to do. Part of him just wanted to leave, and he actually tried to leave, but she convinced him to stay. And the doctors were basically saying, there's no cure. Well, cue this mysterious person finding him in a bar.
Continuing the plot.
Yeah, exactly.
They admit that in the movie.
Oh, and that's another thing, too. Deadpool very much broke the fourth wall over and over and over.
Yes.
But, it didn't feel overdone. It was just like a Deadpool comic where you've got several pages of action and dialogue, and then he stops and looks at you, the reader, and tells you something, like what he's thinking or what he's about to do or what have you. And they very much played that in the movie. It was great.
Interesting enough, it feels kind of like how Ferris Bueller is, which...
Yes, because Ferris Bueller, Matthew Broderick's character, Ferris, broke the fourth wall many times throughout the movie. And it was about the same... pretty much done exactly the same way.
Yep, and if you have seen the movie, you better have watched past all the credits.
Yep. All the way at the very end of the film, past the credits. If you've seen Ferris Bueller all the way past the credits, you know the scene I'm talking about. It's when Matthew Broderick comes out in a bathrobe and says, "Why are you still here? Go home. The movie's over." Well, Deadpool does the exact same thing.
In a bathrobe.
In the same bathrobe that Matthew Broderick was wearing. It was fantastic. And then he reveals something, but we'll get to that.
Yes.
So All right, so back to Deadpool in the bar. He's trying to figure out what he's going to do. You know, if he's going to leave or just, you know, what's going on. Well, cue the mysterious person that comes in and offers him a chance.
Yep, to cure his cancer or become super.
Yeah, because he said not only can we cure your cancer, but we can also make you better.
Yeah, I think that's what he said.
Yeah, better. And then he said, and not just better, but better than better. So this kind of intrigued.
This intrigued.
Well, he wasn't Deadpool yet at that point. So let's just call him Wade Wilson. Yeah. So this intrigued Wade, but he was basically like, yeah, this guy's full of shit. So he just blows him off.
Well, not literally.
Yeah, right. So in a manner of speaking, he ignored the guy and said he's basically full of shit. And then soon after, he realizes that he needs to do this because he can't, like, if there's a chance to I guess spare his fiance from the pain that his pain and his death is going to cause her, if there's a chance, he needs to take it. So he decides to
leave, like, right away.
Yeah. So he without even telling her, just in the middle of the night, he gets up and leaves, and he goes to the facility
where
Stryker Island, right, where they put him through this process of trying to activate his latent mutant powers, which in the world of Marvel and the X-Men verse, humans have latent mutant DNA. And some people are born with those genes active, mm-hmm. but the vast majority of the population, they're inactive genes. So this guy, what was his name? Ajax is how he presented himself.
Oh, yeah.
What he's doing is giving, basically unlocking people's powers. And he sells it. It's kind of a voluntary thing. He sells it as, I'm going to turn you into a superhero. But what he's actually doing is making superpowered slaves. And he sells them on the black market.
Yeah, this guy, he's a complete butthole. Like, he's
the British villain.
Yes.
Yeah, and his name is Francis.
Francis.
Wade finds out that his real name is Francis, and he starts calling him Francis instead of Ajax, and that becomes kind of a recurring theme because he doesn't like his name of Francis, I guess. So he asked him several times throughout the movie, what's my name?
Yeah, and Deadpool usually keeps quiet about it or just says, no one cares about what's your name.
Yeah, it was kind of a recurring point of comedy.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
Yeah. So he was successful in unlocking Wade's latent mutant powers, which turned out to be healing.
Like, insane healing.
Right, invulnerability. Now, the difference between him and, say, Wolverine is a Wolverine heals almost instantaneously. Like, if he gets mm-hmm. shot, the you can watch the hole close up. Well, Wade takes a little while. It takes like a day of healing to even grow back a limb. He, like, in one scene, he chops off his own hand, and it takes about a day for the hand to be fully regenerated.
In the middle of that, it's like a baby hand.
Yeah, and there's much comedy.
It's lots and lots of laughs in this movie.
Yeah. So the main plot of this story is that now he wants to. Okay, well, hold on. Let me back up to one main point here, is that he didn't just receive powers, but he also was mutilated,
tortured.
Right. The process that they used to unlock his powers basically, like, charred his skin. It, like, just made him look like a burnt corpse.
He looked like a raisin.
Yeah. Yeah. So the whole point of him undergoing this to heal the cancer was to have a long, happy life with his fiance. Well, now he's made into this, like, monster, basically. And he's hesitant to go back to her. And the whole idea is that he wants to eventually get back to her, but he can't bring himself to do it because he's such a grotesque figure now. And so now he wants to seek revenge against Ajax or Francis.
Mm-hmm. Francis.
Right. To, I guess just you right the wrong or whatever. Well, he thinks that he can cure him of the grotesque look. So he wants to find him and force him to cure that.
Which is all complete BS.
Yeah, it turns out at the end when he finally gets a hold of him that he laughs at him and says, "You think there really is a way to fix that? There's not." So
moving on from the whole story aspect of it, we get a lot of X-Men references.
Yeah, we only get to see two X-Men.
That is Colossus and Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Yeah, which if you're not familiar with her, you might be familiar with the song. Now I'm drawing a fucking blank. Who sang that? But anyway, that character was named after a grunge rock song. Moving on from that. So she's like a moody teenager that has this power of...
It's like atomic fire coming out of her.
Yeah, like she basically builds up an enormous amount of power and creates explosions around herself.
It's pretty advanced looking.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But yeah, so her and Colossus, they were the only X-Men actually seen. But they made reference to Professor X. They made reference Wolverine. To Wolverine.
I think that's it with...
That might have been it, actually, by name.
Oh, Beast.
Beast, yes. But it was funny because in one scene, Deadpool arrives at the X-Mansion and...
Professor Xavier's School for Gifted Youngsters.
Right. And he makes reference to the fact that I'm starting to think that you two are the only ones that live here because you're the only two that I see. But then he breaks the fourth wall and he says, well, it's actually because the movie production could only afford two X-Men characters.
Yes.
So it was pretty great. I really, really enjoyed the Colossus character.
Yeah, he's completely the opposite of Deadpool.
Yes, he is very moral. He is he's a gentleman. He corrects people for cussing.
He's like language.
Yeah, he was embarrassed. Like there was a scene where he saw a woman's breast and he covered his eyes and said, "Oh, ma'am, please cover up." You know, I mean, he is exactly the opposite of Deadpool.
Which makes it so much funnier when Deadpool does his Deadpool things. And
yeah, it was great to see them play off of each other. I really enjoyed that.
He had this really long speech about how we should be heroes at some points in our life.
Yeah, 4 or 5 moments in your life, you have the opportunity to be a hero.
And then... The speech was going on for a long time and Deadpool just does something really...
Yeah, well, the whole thing was he was about... This is at the end of the movie. Deadpool was about to shoot Ajax in the head and kill him. And you hear Colossus's voice say 4 or 5 moments. And Deadpool's like, what? What the fuck are you talking about? And so he says, you know, everybody thinks that heroes are... heroes 24/7, and that's not truly the case. There's only 4 or 5 moments in your life where you actually get to be a hero, and that's when you make a choice, whether it's like in this case, you can choose to either kill this guy or spare his life. And he's just talking on and on about it. And while he's talking,
Deadpool just shoots him in the head. And he's like, yep. What? You were taking way too long. And Colossus was absolutely disgusted by this.
Yeah, he even threw up.
Yes. So funny.
It was great. It was so good. So the end of the movie, Deadpool, Wade catches back up with his girl. And he rescues her at the end. And she was okay with him being grotesque. So yes. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out for Deadpool 2.
I actually thought she was going to die or something.
That's what I thought too. I was almost certain of it. Either she was going to leave him or she was going to die or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting because we don't think of Deadpool as like the family man or the...
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, or anything like that. And that's what he wants. He wants to marry this girl and have a family and, like, be a normal guy. But we all know that that's not going to happen.
Well, the thing is that the movie had a perfect opportunity to kill her off.
Yeah, several.
Yeah.
Even.
Like, what I'm thinking of is that she fell off this really high place, and she ends up surviving with Colossus saving her and... Or yeah. Freeze her, I should say.
Yeah, he finds, like, he removes some rubble to, like, get her out of this hole in the ground.
Which would have been perfect for her to be dead, maybe. I don't know, just make it gory as hell.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about her surviving. As a standalone, one-shot movie telling a love story, it was great. It was a perfect happy ending, but we know that there's going to be a sequel. We not only know this because this movie is making a shitload of money and it's hugely popular. Of course there's going to be a sequel. This is Hollywood we're talking about. But not only that, the ending credit scene after Deadpool shows up and does the Matthew Broderick line, he does take the opportunity to tell us something about Deadpool 2,
and that is that Cable is going to be in this, in the next movie,
which is awesome.
Now I'm just going to say that I'm not a big knower of Cable, but
okay. So Cable is the son of Scott Summers and Jean Grey, but from an alternate timeline.
He's from the future that comes back to the presence or whatever. And
basically, yeah, he's one of those. The character of Cable is one of the reasons that I didn't follow X-Men all that closely back when I was a teenager reading comics all the time, because their storylines got so confusing because there was constantly characters time traveling or coming from different dimensions and realities, and it just got to be way complicated.
This is actually joked about in the Deadpool movie. Yeah. He's like, wait, which timeline is this? It's so confusing.
Right. And that was a direct reference to X-Men, the X-Men movies.
Yes.
Because he referenced the actors that played Professor X.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, because he was like, is this the... What did he say for...
He said the actors' names.
Yeah, he said the actors' names. He was like...
Patrick Stewart or...
Yeah, he's like, which... So which... Because I think it was Colossus saying that he was going to take him to Professor X or something like that.
For him to become an X-Men.
Right, yeah, because Colossus is trying to recruit Deadpool, basically, and make him an X-Men. But he was like...
Patrick Stewart. Oh, wait.
Well, right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He was like, is this the... man, I can't even remember who played him in the First Class series.
James McAvoy?
Yeah, I think he said, is this... Wait, which one are we talking about? The McAvoy or the Stewart version?
Yes.
So it was pretty great. Is there anything else you want to say about the movie?
The movie is so good, like, I can't stress that enough. It's so funny. It's the perfect popcorn movie.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the movie that I'm going to see over and over. I don't know if I'm going to go back to the theater and see it. I probably will because Stephanie, my girlfriend, is a huge Deadpool fan, and she's already begging to go see it again. So I would say that there's a pretty good likelihood that I'll see it again in the theater. But mm-hmm. when it's on home video, to whether it's, you know, Blu-ray or streaming or what have you, yeah, this is going to be purchased, and it's going to be watched over and over and over, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, this movie, so good. But just to announce, Zoolander 2 came out on the same day that this movie came out, which is not as bad as what happened with Star Wars 7. What was it? The new Alvin and the Chipmunks movie came out on the same day.
Right.
And this is the exact same thing. Like, these movies aren't going to be seen because of this.
Right, yeah. Too bad for Zoolander 2, which, okay, whether you like Zoolander or you don't, I mean, a lot of people don't like it just because they don't like Ben Stiller. But, what have you. Nobody's going to go see that movie over Deadpool.
Yeah. The only thing going for it is that it's not an R movie.
Right, which you can... Yeah, you're gonna have people that don't want to see Deadpool because it is the kind of movie that it is, and he is the kind of character that he is. So maybe those people will choose Zoolander over Deadpool. But as we saw tonight at our little town movie theater,
oh gosh, the line was so long.
There was a super long line for Deadpool. It was a longer line, in fact, than what The Force Awakens had on opening weekend.
Which makes sense, though, because this is Valentine's Day that we watch this movie.
Yeah, you brought up the point that Valentine's Day is a huge date night, you know, movie-going day, and that's something that didn't even occur to me. I was just, oh, let's go Sunday. We're available Sunday to see this movie. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I guess it just happened to be Valentine's Day. So that was probably a factor. But everybody in that line was going to see Deadpool.
Yep.
So it was
we were lucky, though. Like, we were going to a 7:10 showing of it, but there was a 7:20 showing that we ended up going to instead.
Yeah, because I guess because of the overwhelming number of people in line to see this movie, they opened another showing and added a 7:20 because when the online schedule only had the 7:10 and the 9:40,
mm-hmm.
and just magically a 7:20 show appeared. So that was really good because by the time we got through the lines and everything, it was like, it was right about 10 after, 12 after 7. Mm-hmm. So it was really nice that, okay, we don't have to walk in on the credits. I mean, on the previews, we were able to, you know, go ahead and get a soda and some popcorn.
We could all sit in the same row,
right?
Next to
exactly,
other.
And it was still fairly packed. There was quite a few people in there. So yeah. Anyway, I think it's pretty obvious. We're both giving this movie a thumbs up.
I'd give this 10 severed Deadpool heads out of 10.
Absolutely.
Yes, the Stan Lee cameo.
Oh yeah, we promised that we would mention that. So. Yeah, where did we see Stan Lee in this movie?
Well, at one point, Deadpool is going to a strip club.
Yes.
And, you know, we see a lot of boobies.
That happened.
Yes, that happened. And all of a sudden, we hear this old man's voice. And it's Stan Lee saying...
Yeah, he was announcing the girls that were coming on stage.
Abstinence.
Yeah. It was so funny. He was basically the porn in, or porn, the strip club in MC, and it was.
If you can't find love, you can have it for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Something to affect.
Yeah.
I'm butchering it, but
right. But it was just suffice it to say that it was really funny, and it was an unexpected but really good Stan Lee cameo. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
So that concludes our review of Deadpool.
Yep. This is only the first episode of our show, so this is going to be a bit awkward compared to the other ones.
Yeah, this show will get better. We'll develop more of a format. But yeah, so that's it. So thanks for listening.
Watch Deadpool. Even if you've already seen it, watch it again.
Watch it again. All right, guys. See ya.
Bye.
Find more of this and our other great shows at ritualmisery.com. Thanks for listening.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.